time and the opportunity to come back and visit with you. I guess it's been about 3 months, and so it's good to see each one of us. For you, you see each other each first day of the week, and I get to on occasion as well. As I begin this morning, I want to tell you a brief account that I had. By now, it's been about a year ago, but several months ago, I was staying in a home. It was during a meeting that we have a lot of times, and it was on a Sunday morning, and I was packing up and getting ready to leave. And as I was doing so, I had actually had one of the rooms. They had had this family that I was staying with had two daughters. And one of the girls, they were 10 and 12, one of the girls had been nice enough to give me a room for the time. I have a feeling it was her parents' idea, but she was nice and gave me up her room as well. And so it was about 15 minutes before I left and before we were leaving. Everything was packed up. She came into the room to get something. And I thanked her again for letting me stay in her room. I said, I have a feeling you're kind of glad I'm getting ready to go because you get your room back. And so we were sitting there talking some. And she started showing me things in her room. I had stayed there for a week, so I had noticed several things, but she was giving me kind of a lowdown about what all these things were about. And we got to one picture, and she was telling me about the picture. She said, this is a picture of me and my best friend. She was kind of excited, and then she kind of stopped, and she said, well, she used to be my best friend, but now she found somebody who's more popular, and so she's not my best friend anymore. And then she kind of began to describe how difficult it is sometimes to find friends and to maintain friendships. And as she was saying these things, I was kind of sitting there thinking, here's this little girl, very nice, you know, very friendly, very vivacious. How does she have any trouble making friends and maintaining friends? But what was interesting, and I really appreciated about that conversation, was that for a few minutes I got to see life through the eyes of a 10-year-old girl. Even though she was still fairly young, and in not even really middle school yet, probably elementary, she was just sharing some of the things that were on her mind. These were things that she was going through, probably still is. She didn't say anything bad, but she was just kind of telling me things that were on her mind. And as I appreciate that aspect, I also think about things that are on my mind, things that are on your mind. We've just had the opportunity to remember the Lord's death. And so that's what's been on our mind most recently. And we've all collected our minds to focus on that one thing. But I might take a step back to think about what was on your mind this past week. What will be on your mind tomorrow when you begin the work week? What was on your mind today as you came? As I mentioned, sometimes our minds are focused together, because there are a lot of things we have in common that our minds think about, but there's also a lot of differences we have in our lives. For instance, some of you are fairly young, and so for you, it's a matter of what's on your mind a lot of times deals with school. It might be schoolwork. It might be things that I just spoke about with the 10-year-old girl, relationships there with your friends. For some, or maybe you're fairly young parents, so what's on your mind are your kids, trying to get everybody up and going in the morning, trying to teach them about the Lord, things of that nature. But it also can be fairly sporadic and fairly, I don't know if sporadic's the word I want to use, but you're on the go all the time, this, that, and the other to do. For middle-aged, for older, there's the job situation, things relating to the job, there's health. There's a lot of different things that someone who's a young 23, 24-year-old mother has a very different thought process in that sense than someone who's in their 80s, and a male in their 80s who's undergoing cancer treatment or things of that nature. So there's a lot of differences, but at the same time, there's a lot of similarities by the things that are on our mind. But to take it back to what we had spoken of just a minute ago, we are here with a common purpose, and that is our love for the Lord and our hoping to continue to grow in that love and that desire to serve. As we continue with this, what I'd like to do is I'd like to begin by taking our minds to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. David was good enough this morning to read from that, and I'd like to go to Colossians chapter 3 and look at some verses, and right now I'd like to look at verses 1 through 3. I do this because I want us to understand, and things, when we talk about things that are on our mind, we understand a lot of things in principle, but in reality it can be more difficult than that. To become a Christian, the very first thing I need to do is to set my mind on things above. And that's where we're headed with Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look first at verses 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, some of you have read this through many, many times, and when you see the phrase as it begins, if you then be risen with Christ, many of us here understand exactly what that means. Some of us may not understand that terminology, if you then be risen with Christ. Or you may think of it in terms of if you were teaching someone and they said, well, what does it mean to be risen with Christ? How can we describe that? Well, to me, we go back just a few verses into the second chapter. Go back to Colossians chapter 2 with me, if you would, in verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, in which also you were what? Raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When we are buried with him in baptism, and immediately following that, we are raised with him. Correct? Now, let's take that idea as well. And one of the things I appreciate, when I think about being buried with Christ in baptism, I then am basically horizontal, if you will. What direction is my face facing when I am buried with Christ? My face is facing directly into the heavens. Many of us were baptized in a building. And that's certainly great, being baptized in a building. Some of us were baptized outside in a pond or wherever the situation may be. And if you think about that illustration, you can even more clearly, if you will, see the idea of looking directly into the heavens. And our eyes themselves may have been closed, but our face was facing into the heavens. When we are buried with Christ, then, our face is facing upward. As we rise with Christ, where does our mind go? Our mind goes to things above. Set your mind on things above. Now, some of you may be fairly new Christians and may understand, and maybe you haven't yet understood the importance of that idea. But I would again submit to you, if ye then be risen with Christ, set your mind on things above. Some of us may have been Christians for 50 or 60 years, but if we stop and are truly honest with ourselves, we may not have done this in quite the way that we should. And so our first point in relation to this today is, whether we've been a Christian for one day or a Christian for 60 years, consider ourselves to make sure that we are following this, that as we are raised with Christ, we are setting our mind on things above. Now, as we continue in this chapter, you'll notice that it doesn't just give us this admonition and then stop. But it goes on to describe a little bit about this. In verses 5 to 12, about 5 to 11, there are things that we are to put off. And then beginning with verse 12, there are things that we put on. And for now, I want to focus on things we put on. So I'm going to go forward into the 12th verse of Colossians chapter 3 and look at the next few verses here. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. And these are things we put on. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. As we've read these things, we've read it many times, right? Most of us, hopefully, have done this, but I want to just mention, I'm just going to give us a second and let these things sink in. Going back, for instance, to verse 12, we put on tender mercy. Mercy for one another. Kindness. humility, meekness, long-suffering. We set our mind on things above. We set it on these things. Verse 13, we are bearing with each other. We are forgiving of one another. Verse 15, the peace of God is in our hearts and mind. Verse 16, the word of Christ dwells in us. We teach and we admonish with this. And down in verse 17, we do what? We do all in the name of the Lord. As we do this, sometimes it becomes more apparent to us the ways that we are serving well and the ways that we are falling short, and we continue to strive to grow in then. Let's take a step back and let's take a little different approach to this as well. Our thoughts this morning are relating to the thoughts of our mind and trying to get ourselves focused on Christ at all times as much as we can. As we continue with this, what I want to do is I want to tell you of, I was reading, this has been now, again, several months ago, maybe 10 to 12, I was reading a book by Dale Carnegie. It was on how the quick and easy way to effective speaking. The quick and easy way for effective speaking. And in this, Dale Carnegie related a time when he was asked, "What in three sentences, what is the most important thing you've learned in your life?" And what he replied was, "The stupendous importance of what we think. If I know what you think, I know who you are. To change our lives is to change our thoughts." Now, I don't know Dale Carnegie's spiritual situation. I don't know if he was even thinking of it in spiritual terms when he made that comment. But I bring it to our attention today because I believe this is a very good recognition on Mr. Carnegie's part, and I believe it is also has much spiritual implication and value as well. It's one thing, if you will, but he did it in three sentences, so just the three again. The stupendous importance of what we think. What we think makes us who we are. Changing our thoughts changes our lives. Now, using these ideas from Carnegie, but relating it to God, does God realize how important our thoughts are? Are there lots of important aspects of living the Christian life? Sure. But it seems that it all begins in the mind. We certainly need to have actions as well. It's not all in the mind, but in the mind is the beginning part of it. In the comments that were made this morning in class, one of the comments relating to changing our lives. And changing our lives is very important as Christians, but changing our lives begins with changing our thoughts, our thought process. We set our minds on things above. As we think about this, for some of us, and I mean, I think all of us today can still use some tweaking in some instances of this thought process. For some of us, this may be a small type thing. For instance, our family. Is it important to think about our family? Sure. Is it important to think about our job? Definitely. Is it important to think about getting a break on occasion, thinking about hobbies and being able to relax a little? All of these have value. But as we consider, there are situations that maybe we simply need to continue to focus on the Lord more and more with that. For some of us, it's possible that this tweaking may be a very large project as well. Maybe we need to change our thoughts to a larger degree. And so we're considering this, thinking about how we can benefit ourselves in relation to this and our growth as Christians. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. We had looked at verses 12 to 17 about some of the things that we put on. Let's glance at 5 through 11 to see some of the things that we put off. And we'll stop at verse 10, actually. Beginning with verse 5. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Again, taking a minute to pause with some of these in verse 5, what are we putting off? What are mentioned here include fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness. As we go down to verse 8, we put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, and then in verse 9, we also have lying mentioned. Now, with our minds, we're talking here about the thoughts of our minds. I was reading not too long ago and came across a phrase that I appreciate that I thought I'd share with you in this as well. What this dealt with was sin. And the comment was made in terms of the reason that many of us sin along the way, and all of us do on occasion. The point made was, he said that most of us sin because of active rebellion or passive indifference. So let's consider those two for a moment. Because when I stopped and thought about it, to me that was kind of succinctly put, but I believe also had a lot of value to think about. We sin because of active rebellion or passive indifference. Well, as Christians, most of us here today, most of you have been Christians for many years. And probably of the things we were mentioning there in verses 5 through 10 of Ephesians chapter 3, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, things of that nature, we've probably put off in some ways. But at the same time, that would be part of the active rebellion. There's also, though, the passive indifference that I think we all need to battle against as well. And considering some of these just a little bit, delving into them a little bit more, active rebellion. A lot of times when we think of active rebellion, you might think of younger people, maybe rebelling against their parents some, or rebelling at school and not being as cooperative with the teacher as they could be. Does it stop with that, though? Does active rebellion continue into adulthood in many situations? It certainly can. And again, I think all of us have probably been actively rebellious at some point. It may not have been against our parents, but there may have been times that we knew we weren't supposed to do something and did it anyway. That, whether against parents or whether against God. Sinning willfully would be active rebellion in that sense, would it not? So there's something for us to guard against no matter what our age is in relation to this. Going back for a minute, as I mentioned active rebellion and passive indifference, I would ask, how can we combat these two? And what I would say is through submission and through developing zeal. And now you think about that. How do we overcome active rebellion? By learning submission. If I learn how to submit to my parents, if I learn how to submit on the job or wherever it is, I can then overcome this active rebellion. How do I overcome passive indifference? And that's through the zeal that I was talking about. Developing a zeal. Developing, rather than a passive indifference, a passion toward the Lord. That's what we're looking for with this along the way. I focused a minute ago on the active rebellion side. Let's talk for a minute about passive indifference. Has passive indifference been a problem for God's people for years? When you go back and you think about Israel, when they saw the Red Sea part, and they were able to go across the sea, and as they looked back, the sea swallowed the Egyptians up. Do you think they had a zeal for God? They saw, this is the God whom we serve, who is protecting us. They went into Jericho, they marched around the city, and what happened? The walls fell down. Did they see God's hand at work for them? Did they have an indifference toward God at that moment, or were they passionate, if you will, toward God? As they continued on and God helped them to take the land, there was a lot of positive things they saw for God and from God. But if we think about many times during their wanderings in the wilderness, many times after they conquered the land of Canaan, did they turn to a passive indifference toward God? When we think about in Revelation chapter 3, the church which is going to be spewed out because they are lukewarm in that instance, is that an example of passive indifference? You and I, at times, are passively indifferent toward God. In the past week, in the past month, there may have been times that I was somewhat passive toward God. But what I need to do is continue to have to develop that zeal for the Lord. I want to draw your attention to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And I do this because when we talk about this active rebellion and this passive indifference, what I'm trying to focus on for a moment here is, in talking about zeal, why we should develop a zeal for the Lord. One verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. As a matter of fact, 3 years ago, I was developing a lesson to be given here. And I used this particular lesson, or this particular verse, to open that lesson. And it's meant an even greater deal to me since then. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Why should you have a passion for God? Because He has described you and me as the children of God in four ways here. Who are we? We are His own special people. That was the fourth one mentioned here. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. As God's servants, that's who we are. If God's going to describe us in this way, we have a zeal for Him. How do I show that zeal? Also in this verse, what did it mention to do? By proclaiming the praises of who? The One who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This morning we were studying from John the first chapter. And the comment, we were focusing on that light aspect. As God sent His light into the world, He has called you and me out of darkness into His marvelous light in a similar way. So we have this, and we develop this. I would hope that maybe many of you have developed a full passion and zeal for the Lord. Maybe some of us are in the process of developing that, and I would encourage you to continue to let this grow and increase in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, to continue to set your mind on things above. I have one thought I would like to bring forth before we close our lesson this morning. And this is a contrast, in a sense, a contrast between what it means to be, for something to be in our memory and something to be on our mind. Now, if I say in our memory and I say on our mind, what would that mean? Well, to me, as I would think about it, something being in our memory would be something that's in the back of my mind, that at times something may happen, I'll remember, I'll bring it to the front of my mind, think about it, and then so for a while it'll be on my mind, and then back in my memory. As an example, for instance, it's been a few years ago now that I was in high school. But I have a lot of high school memories that are in my memory. So I may be trekking along, and all of a sudden one day something happens that'll trigger a memory. So something that's in my memory I can bring forth to the front of my mind, and now it's on my mind. I think about it for a little while, and then where does it go? It goes trucking back to the back of my mind, and that's where it is now. What about Christianity? Is Christianity something that is to be in our memory, or is it something that is to be on my mind? Is it to be in the back of my mind, or is it to be on the frontal lobe of my brain, if you will? Christ is more than a memory. Christ is on my mind. Christ is on your mind now. What our focus is, what your desire is that in the coming week, in the coming month, that Christ is not a memory to be brought to the front of our mind once a day, once a week, once a month, but Christ is to be on our mind rather than in our memory in this sense. We began by speaking of being risen with Christ. To be risen with Christ, then, is more than a memory. To be risen with Christ is to meet with the One who died for me in the front of my mind on a regular basis to meet with the one who has given me the hope of eternal life, the promise of eternal life, the one and only Savior who can do this. He is the risen Savior. He is on the front of our mind. The thoughts of our mind. As we conclude this morning, we take the opportunity to offer the invitation to anyone who is here, who is ready and desirous to proclaim the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The first aspect of proclaiming that is to confess. Confess Jesus as the Son, as the Savior of your life. Ready to crown Him as King of your life. God has crowned Him King of the universe. You have the opportunity to crown Him the King of your life. The opportunity this morning is to come forward, repenting of your sins, to confess Jesus as the Son, to be buried with Him in baptism, to rise, and to set your mind on things above. We give you that opportunity, or if you have other desires to bring before us, we ask you to do so as we stand and sing.